Nothing like the love of God, is it? I'm glad it's an enduring love. Well, take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Isaiah tonight, 43, in one verse, verse 25. We're preaching Wednesday nights a series of messages on getting rid of emotional baggage. Getting rid of emotional baggage. Many times, even though we're saved, we have some of that. And I want us to just look at that tonight. In one verse, a key verse that we would all do well to recall and remember many times whenever we face some of that emotional baggage. But God said, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And now watch these words, and will not remember thy sins. Follow again, let me read that verse. I, God, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Well, I'm glad verses like that and that verse are in the Word of God tonight. I'm glad that God says he will blot out our sins and he will not remember our sins. Now, I want to say something about guilt. First, let me say that we're living in sort of a sin-free world, or a sinful world that believes we can sin freely, and that there's no guilt with that sin, that there's absolutely no guilt. And psychiatrists and psychologists would tell many people, just go ahead and do that, don't let it bother you, don't feel guilty about it. Well, that's wrong advice. But there is a good guilt that is a necessary guilt, and there is a guilt that God is not pleased with. There is a real guilt that we need to have. We need to feel the guilt of our sin. When we sin, we need to know that. And today, again, so many people are saying, just don't let it bother you. And that has trickled over into the church. And so anything goes, and we excuse sin. But sin and the guilt of sin is something that will bring us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So in that sense, guilt is good. I was reading an article today in preparation for this message, and basically this particular book and this pastor said something about the fact that he had been taught about the Ten Commandments and about keeping the Ten Commandments and about hell and about the wrath of God. And his statement was something like this. He felt like that was a misrepresentation of God, and that God was presented as a bully, and he didn't get over it until he was until 52 years later. Well, you know, I was taught that. I was taught the Ten Commandments. I was taught that God will judge you if you sin. And I was taught that there is a hell, and I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad I was taught that. Because I think that had a lot to do with the fact that when I was 9 years of age, I received Christ as my Savior. I knew I was guilty. I didn't want to die and go to hell, even as a 9-year-old boy, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So guilt is needful, and guilt is necessary, because guilt brings conviction. And conviction will bring us to the place where God can do something with us, make us feel guilty, so that we'll turn to him and have our sins washed away. In fact, you'll never be saved until you feel guilty. That's one of the problems I have when I go out soul winning, knock on doors and talk to people or wherever it may be, is to make them understand they are lost, that they are guilty. Because so many people think, I'm okay, you're okay, I do my thing, you do your thing, we're all going to head to heaven the same way. Had a guy in the hospital room day before yesterday, saying to me, he was an archaeologist, and he had some comments about creation and so on and so forth. And then he was talking about getting to heaven, and he said, well, he said, one's going this way, they're just going through the trees, and that's a little hard, and another's going through the briar patch, and that makes it a little rough, but we're all headed for the same place. And I said to him, well, here's one thing for sure we better know. And that is that we are going through Jesus Christ, or we're not all going to be heading to the same place. You see, I think one of his problems was that he really had not known the power of guilt in his life, so he really didn't realize that he needed the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. But we have to have guilt, conviction, and I don't think anybody, in that song we sang, it said, the guilty pair bowed down with care. What were we talking about? Well, Adam and Eve bowed down with care, didn't they? Why? Why did they hide from God? Because they felt guilty. Because they knew something was wrong. They knew something was out of sync. They were not being holy. So they hid from God, and God knew where they were, but he called their name to arrest their attention about the fact that he was God and he knew where they were. So all of that, you say, what do you do with that? All of that can be resolved at the cross of Calvary. Thank God for the cross. We have a cross in our baptistry. I love the old rugged cross and what it symbolizes. And God help us to never get over the truth about the cross of Jesus Christ. Help us to always love the cross. And I like it just like it was left, without anybody hanging on it. Amen. I like it with the Lord Jesus Christ off of it, buried, and thank God resurrected, and there at heaven. So all of that is resolved at Calvary. But then there is a false guilt, and that's what I'm primarily talking about. A false guilt. We confess our sin to God after we are saved. We're children of God. And we fail him. But for some reason, we won't forgive ourselves. And God says he forgives us. But for some reason, I know Christians, and I've dealt with them long enough in the pastorate to know that some, even though they've confessed their sins, they are perhaps perfectionists, or somebody's taught them that they have to be perfect all the time. And therefore, they cannot accept the fact that even though they've sinned, God has marvelously and gloriously forgiven them of their sin. And here's the way a lot of people think. Well, I read my Bible daily, but I just don't read it enough, and I feel so guilty and so bad, I don't know how I can live. I don't know how I can keep going. I'm just not what I ought to be, and I'm not a good Christian, because I could have read it all night. I could have read more, and many times that's true. But sometimes we have a pseudo-guilt, a false guilt about things that God never intended us to feel guilty about. And I think we ought to read our Bible. Don't misunderstand. When you've read your Bible, don't beat yourself over the head all the time feeling like you're so imperfect that you're not pleasing God because you hadn't read it enough. Read the Word of God as much as you possibly can. Stay in the Word, but don't let it get you down if you feel like you hadn't read it quite as much as you should. Some people say, well, I pray, but I just never pray enough. And in a way, I guess that is true, that we never pray enough. But, you know, sometimes God wants us to get up. He's told his servants sometimes, get up and quit praying. You got a job to do. And we pray, and we maybe don't pray. We say, well, if I'd have prayed a little longer, or if I'd have prayed all night, or if I'd have just fasted a long time before I prayed. And we feel guilty, and we don't feel like God accepts us. We don't feel like God has forgiven us. We just feel so imperfect about it. I don't think God is pleased with that. I don't think God wants us to go around feeling a false guilt all the time. I think God wants us to be happy, wonderful Christians who are enjoying being born again, not to excuse sin, not to overlook anything that we should be doing. But I don't think God wants us to go around all the time feeling guilty. I'm no good. I'm sorry. I'm just not spiritual. I just can't get the job done. On and on and on and on, ad infinitum. I believe God is probably more pleased with you sometimes than you ever dream he is. And he's very pleased when we worship him and pray and read our Bibles. Guilt does not mean, by the way, that we have to earn our salvation. Guilt does not mean we have to earn our salvation. That is a problem with some folks. They feel the guilt, but then they feel like, I've got to work it out. I have to do penance. I have to go to God, and I have to weep and cry, and I have to pray through, and maybe weep a little longer and cry a little longer, and go through all of that and recount all the bad that I've ever done, and somehow an hour or two later, beg God and plead with God, name everything that we can name. By the way, you can't remember all you've done. That's wrong, probably. How many of us tonight, if tonight we had to confess every sin we've ever committed in order to be saved, would remember all the sins we've committed? We wouldn't be able to do it. We couldn't do it. And that, I don't think that's what God is asking us to do, to beg and plead and name them and all of that. What He's asking us to do when we have the guilt is to understand we're lost and then pray and ask God to come in our heart, forgive us of our sin, and to save our sinful soul. And that is a work of grace. It's not a work of works. It's a work of grace. It is a work of mercy. Grace is unmerited favor. And when we know we're guilty, we go before God. We don't have to beg and plead, and we don't have to crawl on miles and crawl up some steps and cut ourselves with knives and do some kind of weird penance and burn candles and do all that other stuff. We just have to do like I did when I was a little 9-year-old boy, went forward and said, God, I'm a sinner. Please save me. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You don't have to go through some catechism or some 10 steps in order to get saved. You just got to understand you're a sinner, you're guilty, you're lost. You come as a beggar asking Jesus Christ to save you, and He does it. And I believe simultaneously that attitude of repentance comes in. It comes in, and we are sorry for our sin, and God knows that. Thank God all of my sin in the past is under the blood of Jesus Christ. God Himself said He would not remember my sins against me anymore. He said in that in our text verse, and He said, I and will not remember thy sins. And He said, He blots out our transgressions. Thank God for that. He blots them out. They're not there anymore. He doesn't remember. He doesn't hold them against us anymore. I'm glad for the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad for the love of Jesus Christ. It gave us the blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary so we could be saved. Thank God all of my past is under the blood. Well, you say, I'm a Christian now. What do I do when I sin? What do I do when I sin? Well, that's a good question, and we have to deal with it. And by the way, we do sin, right? We've established that, I think, in numerous points in recent messages. But Paul said in Romans 7:19, for the good that I would do, that I do not. And he also said, the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, was Paul saying it's okay to sin? No. Was he endorsing sin and saying, let sin so grace may abound? He answers that question, says, no, that's not it. But he said, I nevertheless sometimes find myself doing things that I shouldn't do, that I don't want to do, and the very things I want to do, I find myself not doing those things. And what he was simply saying is, I'm not perfect, although I'm saved. I am not perfect. And that's true of all of us. Although we're saved, we are not perfect, and we do sin. Now, some people say, well, I know I sin, preacher, but my sin is totally uncontrollable. Let me tell you tonight, your sin is not uncontrollable. What do I mean? Well, somebody says, well, I was born with a hot temper, and I've got that, and I'm going to keep a hot temper. That's just the way it is. That's the way God made me, and that's just the way it's going to be. Somebody might say, well, I have a disposition to being depressed all the time. That's my temperament. I'm always depressed. That's the way I'm going to live. God made me that way, so I just stay depressed. Or somebody might say, well, God knew when He made me that I was going to have a problem with immorality and sexual temptation, and that's just the way God made me. Some people aren't that way, but that's just the way God made me. No, that isn't the way God made you. You're a sinner, but that's a wrong idea. Your sin is controllable. It is controllable. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's laziness, pride, being backslidden. I don't care what it is. Our sin is controllable according to the Word of God. And if you get this idea, well, my sin's uncontrollable, I can't help it, then you're going to be sick emotionally, and you're going to be sick mentally, and you're going to be given over to that sin, and you're just going to continue it, and know the chastening hand of God over and over again until, if necessary, if we continue in that sin and we don't get control of that sin, God will, if He has to, take us to heaven. He says that clearly in His Word. God does sometimes cause Christians who persist in their sin and will not admit it and will not confess it and cover it up and excuse it, God will allow some of those people to die prematurely and go to heaven, yes, but they'll go earlier than they'd planned on it. Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What he's saying is you don't have to do that. You don't have to follow through. You don't have to make provision. You don't have to give in to it. There's nobody but you that can do that. Let me just say this. There is a difference, I think, between sin and a mistake. Now, I know most Baptists say, well, that's a mistake. I made a mistake. We cannot cop out on all of those things and just say they're mistakes. What is a sin? A sin is a willful act against God. It is knowing we're doing something against God. Generally, it is premeditated and very deliberate. We know we should not do it, but we go ahead and do it anyway. We sin against God. What would a mistake be? Well, a mistake would be more an error in judgment. And sometimes we make mistakes, sometimes bad mistakes, sometimes little mistakes, sometimes in between mistakes. I have made some mistakes, but I don't believe they were sins as such. I'll give you an illustration. I've hired workers before. It was a mistake. I found out later it was a terrible mistake. And the reason that I did it was because I felt like my need was so great and I was so desperate for someone to put in that position. That was the priority. But I want to tell you, it was not the priority. It was not the priority. I've been a lot more careful in my later years about who I hired, and usually like to get a consensus from other staff workers just to see if they have some discernment that I might not have about that staff work. I remember hiring a guy one time in my first pastorate, and boy, I needed a music director and so on and so forth, and I just thought, I cannot wait. We've got to have him right away. And so this guy contacted me, and he could play the piano. Man, could he play the piano. And he could sing, and he had a very attractive wife and just sharp couple. And I thought, I don't know. There were some things I had a couple of reservations about, but I thought, I need him. I've just got to have him. And we need him now. And I hired him. And it was one of the worst mistakes I ever made. A terrible mistake. Now, you don't know him, so don't try to judge me or him, either one. But just take my word as best you can tonight. It was a horrible mistake. And within a short period of time, we understood it. And by the way, a friend of mine later asked me if he should hire him. And I said, no, you shouldn't. It's a character flaw. He hired him, and he got into immorality in his church, and he had to fire him. But I'm just saying, that's a mistake. I made a mistake. I didn't purposely go against the will of God knowingly, for sure, knowing that it was something wrong. And I said, God, I know this is not the man, but I don't care. I'm going to hire him anyway. Wasn't that? We make mistakes. There are mistakes that you make, mistakes that I make. And usually it's out of a need, maybe out of desperation. And what we need to do when we make mistakes is turn the error over to God. And then say, God, yeah, I blew it. I made a mistake, God. I'm not talking about sin, but I'm talking about a mistake. And say, God, somehow, could you salvage this mistake and get glory out of it and use it somehow to your glory? Even if it hurts me, that's all right. Just take it and use it. And many times God does. I think sometimes there have been people who surrendered to go to the mission field or people who have surrendered to be preachers because somebody else wanted them to, because they felt like it was the urgency of the hour. And sometimes they know later on that that wasn't the case, but they just, even though they know they've made a mistake, they're too proud to admit it, and they fight that battle all their life. Now, I'm not minimizing the call of God. If God has called you, and you know He's called you, and especially not so general, but to a place, and you better go. But if it was a mistake, admit it and go on about your business, and God ask God to use it to bring glory to His name. When we sin, what do? When we sin, we should go to God and ask Him for forgiveness. Isn't that simple? But how many people miss that? When we sin, and we are going to sin, we need to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Name the sin, by the way. Name it to God. Admit it to God. Forsake it. And ask God to forgive you. And you know what? He'll do it. You say, every time? Yes, but now He knows whether you really have a repentant attitude and whether you're turning from that sin at that point in time. But God will forgive you. That doesn't mean you have a right to just sin and run to altar, sin, run to altar, sin, run to altar every Sunday, every time, every time, every time. I don't think that's real repentance and turning from the sin. But you know when your heart is broken, you failed God, you know you chose to do something against His will, it is sin, and you get on your face before God and say, God, I did this, I know it was wrong, and I'm begging You right now, asking You right now, in Jesus' name, to forgive me of that sin. And He will. The problem is not ever with God, so many times it's with us. And by the way, when God forgives you, accept His forgiveness. You say, well, everybody knows that. No, everybody doesn't know that. There are a lot of Christians who have gone to God, admitted a sin, confessed that sin, and then held it against themselves the rest of their lives. That's not right. If God forgives you and He says, I blotted out and I covered up and I don't hold it against you, then pray tell, why should you hold it against yourself? If a holy God does it, then we ought to be willing to forgive ourselves. One of the hardest things for some people to accept is God's forgiveness. Do you know that? And old Splitfoot, the devil, will bring it up and bring it up and bring it up and bring it up and hound you with it every way that he can. Many times we need to just absolutely, well, every time, we need to let go of the past. If it was before we got saved, if it was after we got saved, we need to let go of the past, or we'll be haunted by it. The rest of our Christian experience, it'll give us trouble. You see, the devil is in, that kind of deal is devil-inspired. He wants you to always go back to what you've done, always go back to the past, always feel guilty, always feel unworthy, always feel no good, always feel like, oh, God can't ever use me. Look what I did. God can never use me. God will never forgive me like that. Friend, I'm telling you, God will forgive you. God will forgive you. You say, but preacher, you don't know. I sinned in a major way. We sort of had a tendency, and there are, sin is sin, but there are some repercussions with some sin that you don't get with others. And there are some results that come that you perhaps will not get with others, even though it is a sin. But when we sin, we say, well, I've sinned in a major way. What do you mean? Well, I broke my vows to my wife. Maybe it happened only one time. I was on a sales trip or on business somewhere or whatever the situation may have been. And yes, I committed adultery. And yes, I sinned. Does that mean that you're finished? Now, if you continue in that lifestyle, you better get ready to buy your casket, my dear friend, because you're not going to keep getting away with that. It'll catch up with you somewhere, somehow along the way. You will not, if you're saved. If you're not saved, you better get worried if God doesn't give you a whipping. I mean, if you don't get a whipping, you better get worried about the fact that you're not saved. Because if God doesn't whip you, He says you're an illegitimate, you never were saved to begin with, you never were born again. But if you can do that and continue in sin, and live that kind of lifestyle, either you never have been saved, or, watch out, God's going to bring you down. You will. You say, well, I did it, and I've done it, and I practice it, but God didn't do anything to me. I have immorality in my life. I have pornography in my life. I have the internet pornography. I have Playboy. I have all of these things in my life, and I look at those, and I handle all of that, and I have bad practices in my life, and I'm still living, and I'm still healthy. Friend, the last chapter hadn't been written yet. And I promise you, you're not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. You can laugh, you can scorn, you can not listen, but I'm telling you, you'll not get away with it. Somewhere it's going to catch up with you. You say, well, I've sinned in a major way. Well, friend, if you will go to God and fall on your face before God and confess that major sin, as you might call it, I promise you, God is there to love you and forgive you if you mean business. If you cry out to Him and you say, God, I love You with all my heart. I love You and I hate that I did this. I know I was wrong. I did this or I did that or I did the other, whatever it may be. And God, I know I did wrong. But please forgive me. He'll forgive you right then based on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't get saved by your good works and you're not going to stay saved by your good works. What has happened is the fellowship is broken, but God restores it right away. You don't have to get saved again. You have to have the fellowship restored, and God does that. And God, sometimes people say, well, God will never use me anymore. Well, He used David, didn't He? David sinned. By the way, David paid for his sin. A little baby died. Absalom rebelled. There was immorality in his family. Yeah. Let me tell you something, men. You go ahead and choose to go against God. Go ahead and choose to go against God in immorality and fool around with that, and you will reap it many times in your children. That is not to say that every time that's the case, but I'm telling you many times that is the case. I've counseled enough men over the years, read enough books, and heard enough stories that I know that many times in the next generation and even the next generation, that can have an impact in immorality for those things. So go ahead and play around with it if you want to, but get ready to pay the price. But listen, if you fail God in what we'd call a major way, ask God to forgive you. Sometimes young women make a mistake before they get saved, or they sin before they get saved. Or maybe they are saved and they lose their virginity. And for some reason, they'll never feel like God will forgive them for that. Let me tell you, and I know I've dealt with some ladies, Christian ladies, that have been born again who had an abortion out of ignorance, perhaps, out of fear in some cases, out of a home situation in other cases, and so hard for them to forgive themselves. And that, by the way, I don't care how you cut it, it is the murder of a child. It's serious stuff. But if they confess it to God, thank God I've seen those same women become productive workers in God's house, in God's work. You say, well, they shouldn't be there, they don't deserve it. Friend, neither do you. Neither do I. But if we'll confess our sin, God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And God can take that and turn that into a ministry. That's not to condone it. That's not to approve of it. It's wrong. But God can forgive, and God does. I'm thinking right now of a woman in my church used to sing in a trio, a good trio. And she got mixed up at work with a man, and I counseled she and her husband. She committed adultery. And I counseled them and talked with them. She's sat and wept and cried, and I gave him the biblical advice the best way I knew how to do, and thank God she repented, confessed her sin, no longer continued that lifestyle at all. And before I left the city of Connersville, Indiana, she was singing in that trio again. You say, well, she should never have sung again. Well, I disagree with you. I think when God forgave her, He forgave her, and I admired her for having the courage to ask God to forgive her. Now, everybody in the church didn't know about it. They don't have to know about it. But thank God He forgave her. She had the courage to stay with the husband. He had the courage to forgive her, which is what he should have done. And he did. And they lived together, and they're still together, and have two wonderful children, and now some wonderful grandchildren. I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. And thank God, that's not, and I'm not endorsing, I'm not excusing, I'm not making light of sin. God knows we better not. But thank God when we blow it royally in a big, mega, major sin. If that happens, and we confess it and mean business, and we, God knows we love Him, then it's over with. Quit letting it hound you. And when the devil comes to that junk in your mind to bring it up again and bring it up, and I'm going to tell you when he'll bring it up the most, when you're praying. Other times, but when you pray, when he's trying to get your mind off of what you're a spiritual thing or maybe something in church, and you just said to him, Satan, I know who you are, and I don't want that mess in my mind, and I resist you in the name of Jesus. God has forgiven me, and it's under the blood, and I'm not going to let it get me down. I want to serve my Lord. That is a baggage guilt that God does not intend for us to carry around. So what I'm saying is, unsaved friend, if you're here tonight without Christ, I'm glad I can tell you no matter what you've done, God forgives. Amen? Oh, I'm glad I've got good news to lost people, for lost people. I'm glad I can say, and I've had some people tell me, preacher, there's nothing I haven't done. I said, nothing? Nothing I haven't done. And I'm thinking, kill people? Hey, there are people in prison right now for murder who got saved and who are living for Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thinking one in the Bible. What was his name? Paul. You say, well, he wasn't that bad. Yeah, he was too. Well, he was religious. Yeah, but he had people killed, and I wouldn't doubt what he participated himself. But thank God, God saved him and forgave him. If he'll forgive him, he'll forgive anybody. He'll forgive you of your sin tonight. If you're saved, know the difference between a mistake and a sin, and don't let your mistakes get you down all the time. Everybody makes mistakes. Well, I've met a couple of Baptists that don't think they do, but they do. You ask some guy and he says, no, I'm sinlessly perfect. Next thing I want to do is go to his wife. And I guarantee you that'll stop that nonsense, or vice versa. But thank God, even though we make mistakes, we can get on our knees and say, God, I made a mistake. I know I did. I shouldn't have bought that car. I shouldn't have bought that house. That was a mistake. Somehow help me to straighten this thing out. Forgive me for that. And somehow use it to glorify your name. And ask God to use your mistakes for his glory when they've been made. If there's sin, just confess it. And listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Get over it. Get over it. Confess it and get over it. You say, well, my mind can't forget it. I didn't say forget it. I said get over it. God forgives you. Keep on trucking. Keep on going. Keep on serving God. Confess it, get it right, and go on whatever it may be. And even if it isn't a major sin, the same thing applies. We don't need that emotional guilt all the time, feeling like God's mad at us, God's down on us, God's ready to hit us with a baseball bat, God's some kind of great despotic individual up in heaven that's just looking for an opportunity to bring up our past and to hit us over the head. No, friend, that wouldn't be forgiveness. That wouldn't be forgiveness. One of the hardest things sometimes in couples when they failed each other, one or the other, after they say they have forgiven, is to really get over it. We just need to get over it and believe God, believe what he says in this book. Let's stand, please. We always have an invitation, even on Wednesday night, the midweek service. You may have a burden tonight you need to bring to Christ. It may have nothing to do with the message I preach tonight, but there's an altar and you want to come and you want to pray for somebody. There's a need in your life, you come. Or it may be something that God spoke to you about in this message tonight. Come. You say, well, if I come to the altar and pray, everybody will think I've done a bad thing and I'm just trying. I wouldn't worry about that. You know your heart. You and God may not be that at all. But if there's a need tonight, if there's a need, if the devil has hounded you and made you carry around this baggage of guilt that you have no business carrying around, you just put him straight tonight on the authority of the Word of God. Father, help us speak to our hearts. And thank you for this passage in Isaiah and many like it. We thank you, dear God, that our sins are under the blood. You do not remember them against us anymore. Thank you for that, God. Help us to, when we make mistakes, to go to you for help and correct them. When we sin, help us to confess and know we are forgiven if we really confess, forsake it. God, just speak to our hearts. Help us not to carry around any negative, defeating, depressing baggage that we don't need to carry around. In Jesus' name, amen.